Good morning, everybody, all two of you. I was going to talk about Pasi Stral this morning, and I still am going to talk about Pasi Stral this morning. Does anybody know, by the way, the reason as to why we prohibit Pasakum, which we'll get to at length during the year, hopefully?
Social aspects.
Socializing. So I found it very ironic that when I was just thinking about it, it's Shabbos. I'm giving a shiur on this on Sunday, and then I was like reading, you know, going through the parsha yesterday, and Vayomer ben Osav ve'ayo, after Moshe comes to Midian and he saves Yisro's daughters, what does Yisro tell his daughters? And in when he wants to marry off Moshe to one of them, he says, "Lama ze'azav tenes ha'ishkir en lo v'yochal lachem." Why don't you invite him over to eat bread with us? So anyways, clearly this is a method of chasnas, at the very least in the times of Chumash, that we see proving quite effective. But anyways, I thought that was made for a nice intro to talk about this. So, in general, let's talk a little bit about Pasi Stral, some background of it. We're going to talk about two main views, and to talk about there is a chiluk in general, which we're going to see. Assume that for the sake of this shiur, what we're talking about is bread purchased from a non-Jewish baker, not bread purchased from a non-Jewish individual who bakes it for personal use at home, as we're going to see in the tour. Also, a massive disclaimer to begin with, which is that none of this is being said halacha lemaisa, for very, very many reasons. Number one, because I'm not a posek. Number two, because even if I was a posek, I'm not your posek. Number three, because there are other halachic issues involved in stuff like this that relate practically to it. So, for example, even if something is not Pasi Yisrael, or even if Pasi Yisrael is not required, even if something is Pasi Yisrael, or even if Pasi Yisrael is not required, there are still issues that may relate to kashrus. There may even be issues that relate to bishul, Akum / Bishul Yisrael. And again, it can be bugs, it can be non-kosher ingredients, it can be fats, there's all sorts of other stuff that happens, so certainly you should not take anything here halacha lemaisa and go out and act based on something that you hear in this year. And let's get started with that. So there are two main views. And also feel free always to pipe up, join me, read, whatever the case may be. The two main views that we're going to talk about is the Shulchan Aruch and Rama. We'll see the background in the Gemara and the tour in a moment. But Shulchan Aruch writes the following in source number two. Yesh mekomos shemekilin bedavar. There are those places that are very lenient, and I added in the word very, but lenient. V'lochem pas minachtam ovet kochavim, and they will even purchase bread from a non-Jewish baker, b'makom she'ein sham nachtam Yisrael, where there's no Jewish baker at all, mipnei shushasadcha, because it's considered, as in their language, a time of pressing need. Okay, so again, what's this big heter? The big heter is, if there's no Jewish baker, then you can buy bread from a non-Jewish baker, obviously assuming that it's kosher. Right? I mean, again, that's what we said the whole time. V'yesh Omrim says, the Rama, da'afilu b'makom shepas Yisrael matzoi shari. The Rama says, he says, no, even in a place where there is a Jewish baker, you are still permitted to go and buy from a non-Jewish baker. So this is the big machloka. Shulchan Aruch says, what's the kula? The kula is when there is no Jewish bread to buy non-Jewish bread. The Rama says, no, you can always buy non-Jewish bread. Again, we're assuming that we're talking from a baker. That's what's really emphasized in the tour. He brings down from the Rashi, Das Doni Avi HaRashdal, in Chiluk bin Pashal Bal Habayis L'Shal Paltar. He says there's no difference in both of them. Arasar, Avok Tzas Miam HaChavrim, Chilku bin Shal Bal Habayis L'Shal Paltar, to Lo Shaya Chasnus, that the idea, again, of becoming close and leading to intermarriage, is only relevant b'shal balabayis el kachasru b'chol inyan chutz mi b'makom sakana. Obviously, if there's a danger, there's no question that you'd be allowed to eat this. Aval shal palter ain't kan kol kach kiruv dash sheb umanusa hu osek. The guy is, you know, busy with his work. He's not becoming all friendly with you because he's baking you your bread. So therefore, those people say that. Now, just to get into a little bit of the background, we're going to read the Gemara together, and I'm going to ask you what your conclusion is based on the Gemara. So first, let's take a look at the Mishnah. Anybody want to read the Mishnah? It's pretty straightforward, and you have an English translation in front of you, so there's no excuses.
Sure. So milk that was milked by a non-Jew, vein Yisrael ro'eu, and he was not witnessed by Yisrael, v'apat v'ashemen shalahen, and the bread and oil of his, Rebbe u'beitino hitiu ha'shemen, and Rebbe and his beitino decided that shemen should be allowed.
Okay, so what do we know from the Mishnah so far? The bread baked by a non-Jew, is that permitted or prohibited?
Prohibited.
Prohibited, everybody pretty straightforward, right? Okay, let's take a look at the Gemara now. You want to keep on going?
V'apat. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Yochanan, pat lo hitira beit din. Michal di'ika man d'shari.
So that's the Gemara speaking, meaning the line of Rav Kahana, Rav Yochanan is pat lo hutra beit din. Yeah. Which means?
That there is someone that would allow it.
Right. So the Gemara first quotes the opinion of Rav Kahn on the name of Rav Yochanan, saying, Pas was never matired, meaning, although Shemen was matired, although oil of a non-Jew became permitted by Bezdin, by Rabbi Uve's Dino, bread never had that heter. Says the Gemara, that would imply, you don't come and say, no one matired it, unless there is someone who says that they did matir it. So what's going on?
Im, behold,
yes,
true.
There was someone who matired it, yeah.
Bechiyata of Dimi, when Dimi came up, Amar pa'am achat yitza Rabbi l'sadev, v'havi obik l'chavim l'fanav. So Rabbi once went to the field and a Gentile bought for him l'fanav pat.
Pat korni ma'afesea.
Some sort of
you can
bread.
Read, yeah. Bread baked in a large baker's oven. And it was a se'ah, yeah.
And Rabbi, come on, nanae patze. And Rabbi said, this is a really nice piece of bread. Does that mean he bought it?
Continue.
Maru chachamim la'asura, maru chachamim...
Maru chachamim la'asura. Why would the rabbis prohibit this?
Maru chachamim...
Ask the Gemara, maru chachamim!
Yeah, we know, it's because of chatnut. So, ela maru chachamim la'asura, besadeh kesuburin ham had. So, the thing is, why did they make it prohibited even in the case of a field where you don't have, I guess, hatana?
Right. So, says the Gemara concludes, Kasvurin ha'am.
Hatu Rabbi apat, v'lo hayo Rabbi, lo hatir apat. So, people thought that when he said that, Rabbi permitted it. Mm-hmm. Rabbi did not actually permit such.
Right. So, says the Gemara, why did Reb Kahana, Am Rabbi Yochanan, feel the need to say pat luhut Rabbi Bezdin? Because there was a mistaken view. There was this one story where Rebbe was out in the field somewhere, and what Rebbe was referring to was the fact that there's a heter in the field. Because in the field, there's not so much chatnus.
Rebbe is saying there's a heter in the field. He's not saying there should be a heter in the field.
So it's not clear. It's not 100% clear. But let's even say yes. And this is the way we tend to paskin. By the way, Shulchan Aruch brings this, the difference of a sada. Or outside a city. So... But let's say even yes. But what at the end of the day is the Gemara responding to? The Gemara is responding to a mistaken view. The Gemara is very, very crystal clear that this view that bread was 100% matired by Rebbe is wrong. Bread was not one, right? That's the Gemara's conclusion here. Lo hitir es hapas. He was not matirit. So we do have this story with him, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he was matirit. Fine. That's the first case in the Gemara. However, the Gemara goes on. Want to continue? Rav Eli?
Okay, Rav Yosef.
Mm-hmm.
And you came out of Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Amar, lo kachay amasa. So he says that either Rav Yosef or Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says it wasn't like so. It didn't go like this. Ela amru pa'am achas. Where they said one time, halach Rabbi lemakom echad, levira'a pas dachuk le'talmidim. And he saw this, what, pastachuk?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It was not enough for them, meaning it was scarce, bread. Right?
It's scarce for the Talmidim.
I'm a Rebbe.
Ain't kan palter.
What, there's no baker here?
Ah. Kisvurin ha'am lomar palter.
Ovid kochavim. So what did the people think? The people assumed, what did Rebbe mean by this statement when he said, what, there's no baker here? People thought he meant...
It's a non-Jewish...
What? There's no non-Jewish baker here for people to buy bread from? Which implies, again, that what? Rebbe was matir such bread.
It implies that
right? Meaning,
matir the bread?
Rebbe walks into the base medrash one day, and he looks at this shear here, and he says, what? Where are the muffins? Are there no bakers here? And everybody thought that meant, what, are there no non-Jewish bakers to buy muffins from? But really, says the Gemara...
He just meant
what? You can't go up the block to Richmond's Bakery.
Right.
That's what he meant. So therefore, again, was Rebbe ever matir pas akum?
No,
there was a mistaken view amongst the people that had to be debunked by saying this. Now again, was Rebbe actually matir in the first case in the field? Maybe. What about in the second case? Now look at how the Gemara continues. Crazy Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chelbo. Afilu leman da'amar, and I can read now. Palter Oved Kochavim, even according to the opinion, who says that when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was saying, is there no baker? Even according to the opinion that says that he was referring to a non-Jewish baker, lo amran ela deleka leka palter Yisrael. They only said that because in that case, in that place, there was no Jewish bakery available. There's no Jewish baked goods available. Aval b'makom di'ika paltar Yisrael, lo. But even according to that read, again, even according to the overly lenient read, which we say is wrong, even that read was only within to say, in a place that there's no Jewish bread available, that's where Rabbi was matir. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and Rabbi Yochanan continues, Afilam andam rapalter of kochavim hani mili besadeh. Rabbi, again, even in that case, was talking about a case of asadeh, aval be'ir lo mishum chasnas, but he wouldn't allow it in the field. Right? So, I mean, we're limiting and limiting and limiting not only what is right, but what is wrong. What we're rejecting in the Gemara here, we're limiting that down to basically nothing. Okay, and look at the conclusion of the Gemara. Evu ha'vamankis ve'achil pas abe mitzari. Evu would bite and eat bread of Gentiles at the boundaries of the fields. Amar lehu ravar, v'itemar of Nachman bar Yitzchak. Lo tishta'u bahadei de'evu de'ka'achil lachma de'aramai. Don't hang around with him, don't speak with him. He eats the breads of the Aramai, and therefore, it seems from this Gemara, if I were to ask you, what is the halach about Pas Yisrael, I'm going to give you three options. I'm going to give you the lenient opinion of the Ramah to say that Pas Yisrael is never necessary, and you can go lechatchila even when there's Jewish bakeries available to a non-Jew. Option number two, Shulchan Aruch, who says that only when there is no non-Jewish bread of only when there is no Jewish bread available may one go to a non-Jewish baker. And option number three to say it's completely usher. What would you say, the Bavli Paskins?
Option number two.
Or three.
For sure, option number three. The Bavli rejects option number two.
No, we never rejected Rabbi Yochanan.
Yes, we did, because Rabbi Yochanan was going within the opinion down here that we rejected. Because for an Am Lomar Palter Oved Kochavim, Vihulo Amar Ela Palter Yisrael.
No, doesn't Rabbi Yochanan is on referring to... Yeah, statement applies only in the field, but in the city it would not apply.
Yeah, but we're talking about in the city. What? The field is a separate question, but he's going within. Read what he says. Afilu liman de Amar Palter Ovid Kochavim. Again. Because for him, Am Lomar Palter Ovid Kochavim, Vihulo Amar Ela Palter Yisrael.
Do we necessarily reject what Rav Chalbo says?
Yes, the Gemara explicitly rejects it. Vihulo Amar Ela Palter Yisrael. They're both going within the opinion that we reject... Within the second story of Rebbe. Go back to the second story of Rebbe for a moment, right?
Okay.
So Rabbi Yosef Itamar Shmuel Bar Yehuda says, the story was like this, Kasfurin Ha'am Lomar, that is there no Palter Ovid Kochavim here? But in fact, Vihu Lo Amar Ela Palter Yisrael.
In fact, the Chalbon of Yochanan are both commenting on a rejected opinion.
Okay, so then we can get to that, and I think that's a fair argument. You could then make the argument, yes, that maybe, and the fact that even referred to it as Liman De Amar, Palter Ovid Kochavim here, seems to show that there at least was such an opinion, and that maybe the Gemara is just defending the opinion of Rav Kahana Amar of Yochanan, which is interesting, because Rav Yochanan himself, over here, right, seems to be working within that other opinion.
This is also all according to the opinion of Rav Yosef and Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's story. According to the story of Rav Kahana and everything,
it's... You're also not mutter. For sure it's not mutter there.
No, because they were just saying because of Chatnut. So if you...
Right, but chasnus is the reason in general.
Yeah, but if you determine that palter is not an issue of chatnus.
Ah, so this is already the Rishonim. Yeah. But yes, the assumption of the Gemara, straight, simple assumption, based on this read of the Gemara, is one of two options. Either we paskin like Shulchan Aruch, or we paskin that it's even more machmir, like really what the first si'if in Shulchan Aruch. I only brought you the second si'if of the lenient opinions. But then, you know, to Paschal, like the Machmir opinions. And that's really what you should get from the Gemara. Your simple read of the Gemara is like that. However, there's a very interesting Tosfos and a whole host of Rishonim who follow in some way or another. Take a look at Tosfos here. Tosfos has a fascinating diuk. Michlal di'ika leman d'shari. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's read the first line of the Gemara again. Amar of Kahana, Amar of Yochanan. Pas lo hutra bevezdin. Pas was not mutter in Bezdin. From the fact that they need to say that, the Gemara should say what? The Gemara should say, Michlal, what? If you were the Gemara, and you were saying, Rabbi Kahana, then it says in the name of Yochanan, Paslo Hutra Bevezdin, Michlal, Di'ika, Lamanda Amar, that what? How, if you were to say, what is the opposite view of Rabbi Kahana, Amar, of Yochanan, what would you write in your Gemara?
But it was permitted.
I would write, Manda Amar, Dipas Kein Hutra Bevezdin. What's this Michlal Di'ika Man Dishari, asks Tosfos. What's going on with that? Continue, Tosfos.
Why does the Bezdin matter? Meaning, why is...
We'll see why it matters. This is exactly Tosfos' diuk. Tosfos looks at it a slightly different way, but this is the main diuk that he's making. Midka Amar Pas Lo Hutra Bevezdin, from the fact that it says Pas Lo Hutra Bevezdin, Michlal Di'ibai Havashari Lei. If they wanted to, they could have. Right? So it says, Pas wasn't. So Tosfos, again, is going on a slightly different diuk than the one I told you, but also within the diuk that I mentioned, which is, From the fact they said it wasn't, that means they could have been matirit. Why weren't they matirit in Beis Din, asked Tosfos? Alma, we see, lo pashat isuro. The iser was not nifshat, it didn't spread. When they made this xera, it didn't spread throughout all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore say Tosfos, umikan samchu ata lechol pashal ovdei kochavim, kevan shelo pashat isuro b'chol Yisrael. And that's why, again, the diuk that I mentioned to you is that Michlal de'ikaman de'shari, there are people that allow it because it never got there. I mean, again, Tosfos himself is working from the diuk of that they didn't matirit, meaning they could have been matirit, and he's medayik from there, but we can also be medayik from the Lashon HaGemara, which is what I mentioned. And therefore, he says, therefore, now we all eat paschal ov de'kochavim kevan shelo pashat isuro b'chal Yisrael.
This would be even at someone's house.
So again, there's a long discussion. So I don't want to get into that because that's not really what we're talking about. Let's assume, for the sake of the discussion, that it's only referring to baker bread, but you may very well be correct in Pshat and Tosfos. Granted. And therefore, say Tosfos, so what if lo pashat isuro b'chol Yisrael? So you could then start to work with this. You could say, well, places where it wasn't nifshat, you shouldn't have to keep it. Tosfos goes even further. V'yesh lismoch al divrei Rashbag v'Rabbelazer bar Tzadok da'amri ein gozrin gzera al hatzibur ela im kein rov hatzibur yichol lamod bo. And this was a gzera. Shane Rov Hatzibur Yichol and Lamod Bo. That's why it didn't get across. It was too hard to ask people to give up all their bread that the non-Jewish bakers were making. And he brings other discussion. He says, "Oh, Damer Yerushalmi di Pirkinu Perakam of the Shabbos Pas Amdu Alav Vehiti Ruhu." The Yerushalmi seems to say that again. It was deliberated about and it was matirt. The point is to say, according to Tosfos, and there are various versions of this in different Rishonim, it's either that it was completely rescinded, either that we became very makel about it because of that, or we allowed you bread of a palter, or all sorts of different things to say that the original gzera is no longer in tokef or was not even powerful enough then. That's really the message taken away from Tosfos, which is the basis for the leniency that we see in the Ramah, and therefore he says, basically, you know, we have this Yerushalmi, and as Tosfos proves, the Bavli, it's true, was not fully accepted then either, so therefore we can rely on such leniencies. Again, there are slightly different reads of Tosfos as to whether it's completely mutter or there are some things that we hold back, but the point is to say, this is the basis for the Ramah's leniency, and that's what I would call it. Either it was never accepted or it was annulled. Okay, that's I think, a good summary of that view, and it, again, it's a whole bunch of Rishonim. A whole bunch, not necessarily the majority, but a number of Ashkenazi Rishonim, which is important. Ritva has a lot of discussion about this in the name of different people, and there's a lot to talk about. Questions?
Nobody says anything about kashrus at all.
Because, again, we're assuming that kashrus wasn't an issue. When you were making bread, you were taking flour and you were mixing it with water, maybe a little bit of yeast or whatever the case is, and you're putting it in the oven. What kashrus issues were there?
I don't know, maybe the oven's tray.
The ovens were used for baking in general. And Poskim discussed this, and yes, whenever there is, and they say that nowadays, obviously, this is very different. But the assumptions were, I mean, you're also dealing with Inav and Yomon, you're dealing with 1,000 heterim that people come up with. This is just in regards to the issue of Pas Akum. And saying Pas Akum, even though we thought, might have thought from the Mishnah and the Gemara that it is a big deal, it's not a big deal. You don't have to worry about it. You can buy your non-Jewish baker-baked bread. That's heter number one that I wanted to look at. Another one I wanted to look at was a very interesting diyuk that you could make in the words of Shulchan Aruch, which I don't think people actually, again, Lamaisip, I don't think people paskin like a lot of the things that we're going to say today. For good reason, oftentimes, but a very interesting diuk. Look at Shulchan Aruch language in Seif Aleph. Source number 6. Anybody want to read in Bimadayik?
Anyone?
Go ahead.
So what does that mean? I think it's the he has both amamim and ovdei kochavim.
Yeah, so what, how would you translate that?
Qualifier.
How would you translate that?
The sages forbidding you the bread of the nations... comma, who worships Kochavim, because of Chatnut.
So what would you be medayik from that? What would that imply? What might that imply?
Only those that are actually of the Kochavim.
Okay, so you could make the argument within Shulchan Aruch to say, why does he say Amemim of the Kochavim? He means to say it's the nations who bedavka actually worship other gods. So just if I were to ask you, what would that mean for today? Let's say that were in fact true. In the Western world today, you would be very hard-pressed to find... I mean, certainly it's not considered Amamim of Dei Kochavim if you were to classify it by the nation, but even individuals, it's very hard to find actual, you know, Ovdei Avodah Zarah in the Western world with Manazeh. Not so in the rest of the world, granted. And this, yes, this naturally will lead to a whole discussion of Christianity and do people actually believe, and Menachem Goldstein will say, damn, and I'm not interested in getting into that right now. But I'm just saying this would serve as a very widespread heads up if we were in fact to say this. And if you look in Darkei Tshuva, where I got much of my stuff from this year from, Darkei Tshuva quotes the Pre-Torah, which I didn't have a copy of, so I figured may as well quote his citation of the Pre-Torah. And here's what the Pre-Torah says. Ein Pre-Torah sefkat n'gimel shekasav. Di'af agav de'bishas amru de'gazru al pita mishum yenam. V'yenam mishum dozeyam. Uvno sam mishum davar acher. That they were gozer on their bread because of their wine, and their wine because of their daughters, and their daughters because of davar acher. What does davar acher mean? Avodah zarah. Meaning, he says, umivur mi divrayim de'gazru al pitam rak k'day li'yistrachek mi'avodah zarah shalem. Even though in Shulchan Aruch says mishum chasnos, Chasnos even goes back. He says, it's very clear from the Gemara, the concern is about Avodah Zarah. And he says, Im Kain, Mashma Davka Benachrim Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hu Degazru. Says, therefore, the original Gzer was only on whom? Idol worshippers. Or worshippers of other gods. And therefore, Masha Im Kain Begoyim Delo Avdu Avodah Zarah, and not on Goyim who do not serve Avodah Zarah. V'im Kain, and here's his example, Hayishme'elim HaKofrim Ba'Avodah Zarah, the Muslims who deny Avodah Zarah, v'sonim le'ovdehem, and not only that, but they even hate Avodah Zarah. He says then, ein la'asar pitan, you should not aser their bread, ki lo gazru b'hem, the gzer was never on such people. Aval ledina ein la'hakel gam b'yishme'elem, he says, nevertheless though, I'm telling you, l'maisa, this shouldn't be relied upon, ki midivrei haposkim mivur dehagzera haya gam mishum chasnos. Because even though it's true that the end goal was to distance us from Avodah Zarah, nevertheless, there's a stop on the train at the Chasnos station, and it's prohibited to marry any non-Jews. Even non-Jews who don't worship Avodah Zarah, you can't marry a nice Muslim girl. Sorry, guys. Limiting your options. But therefore, he says, that's why, Lemaisa, you should not be v'chol benos ha'umos afilu shel ha'yishme'elim asurim lanu ayin sham. So he says that's going to be the conclusion, so you don't have this to rely on as another heter, but nevertheless, it's a very interesting take and a very interesting read on what might be another heter. Then we get to something very interesting, and again, if I would have known it's just you guys, I might have brought a little bit more of this, and maybe look at the Rivash inside for the next one. The next one is about purchased bread. Is there a heter if you're buying the bread?
It's already made bread?
No, the baker is baking the bread, and now you're buying it. Was the gzera on that as well, or was it only when you're getting the bread for free, or when you're being fed the bread by a non-Jew? Things like that. So, yes?
Why would it make a difference?
Well, I mean, let's think of it from the perspective of chasnos. Again, the guy's just doing their job, and he's selling it to you, meaning it's not like, oh, I'm giving you bread, so now we're getting extra close. You're buying bread from me. Like, why is that getting towards chasnos?
You're allowed to buy some other things from
right. You're allowed to buy other things from a non-Jew, so why is bread any different?
Oh, you're talking about bread, bedavka, as opposed to baking.
So any baked goods, I would... Correct. If someone bakes it for you, that I hear why there's chasnos. Right? But I'm buying something, like... That's hard to understand, and we'll see it inside here, and we'll have this discussion. I just want to note, by the way, something we haven't really touched upon, which is not part of this year. This is not an overview of Pas Yisrael, but rather this is just particularly relating to the question of whether or not there is room to be mekel on the general rule of it, which we didn't discuss the specifics of. Part of the specifics are also other baked goods. Again, exactly how we define those other baked goods, and when we say it's going to be subject to the laws of pas Yisrael slash, or in other cases, Bishul Yisrael, or whatever the cases may be, are good questions, and we can have another share on that if you want. But for now, we're just going within the general idea. So Kasav HaRivash, says the Beis Yosef in Yoredei over here. Shehara'a, Kasav Lehatir HaPas Shelanu Bipurni, Hatanur Hanase Bischar. Af below hashlachas kesam. Hashlachas kesam refers to throwing in like a little splinter of wood into the fire, which is symbolic enough to consider the fire and the Jew as having taken part in the baking of the bread. Okay, so he says, the Rivash quotes the Ra'ah, that we're matir our bread, which is baked in this oven, because it's na'aseh bischar. Af below hashlachas kesam, dekevan de bischar. Ofin lechol haba ein bo mishum chasnos kimoshi tiru pas palter mitamze. So he says, because just like we're matir paspalter for this reason. Some are. He's saying there would be an additional hefter in the Beis Yosef. This might even be according to his view. And everything we're talking about is in the view of the Beis Yosef. According to the Ramah, again, you can go and buy it when there's a non-Jewish baked bread available. He says, so long as it's bischar, that's totally okay. Ein bo mishum chasnos, because they're just baking bread for whoever comes and buys it. It's not like when the guy's going to the oven with his piece of bread, he's like, oh, this is for Mr. Goldstein. I know Mr. Goldstein's going to come by later and I'm going to give him his bread. No! And in fact, by the way, if you would think of this even more, in our day and age, have you ever seen the baker of any of the Jewish bakeries? Probably not. The baker sits in some room. He doesn't know who you are. You don't know who he is. It's very hard to imagine that there's chasnos here. And he says, "V'lo nahagu lismoch al ze ela af b'sheofin b'schar matzrichen hashlach haseitz lechatzchila v'chein b'din," says the Beis Yosef. And this is a point that's going to be hotly debated. Says the Beis Yosef, nowadays we don't rely on this, and we do require you to put in the splinter into the oven, and that's correct. She'af hara'alo amra'ala midochak. The Ra'ah only said that because of all the pressures, the ode, and he gives all sorts of different reasons as to limit the case of the Ra'ah. And here's what he says. Ve'od she'ofe bebayis miyuchad lekach. He says they bake in this special room, in this special building. She ain't ochlim ve'ain shosim. Some no one can eat, no one can drink there. Who reshus harabim lekol olam. It's really for everybody. Ve'ainu miskavin lafos la'adam miyuchad el asachir lafos hu lafos lechol b'nei ha'ir. Basically, the way it was is like this: the king had this like set aside house where the king paid this guy to go and bake bread for everybody in the city. And that's what he says that he was going on. Ein bezem mishum chasim moshu kasa v'sefer orchas chaim uminana nishma. So jump down uminana nishma, and we can learn from this. She afilu lefi tamzelo hitirara elo lefi shehaus jehu sachir lefos lechol b'nei ha'ir ve'eino miskavin lezeh aval kigon porni didan. But in our ovens shekol echad porea leofe lesei lahahu tama. Here every individual is coming and buying bread. Therefore, the Ra'ah would never be matir that. The Ra'ah would never be matir that. The Ra'ah only matir it as a rivash, you know, and he says this is pshat in the rivash as well, because it was one person paying the baker to bake for everybody, and there was no, like, personal relationship between them. But now here, where everybody individually comes and buys bread from the baker, chas v'shalom to do this.
Can I ask? I guess this is all based on losachanim, right?
This is a separate gzera. This is not based on losachanim.
This is not...
It's chasnos is I mean, there's an Isser in the Torah of chasnos, yes. Of losis chatein bam. That's chasnos. But this is not included in the Isser of losachanim. I don't believe anybody
Isn't
says pas.
The lotit chatein bam only would be on Shevet Amamina?
So the question is in pshat, and how does it apply, and how do we know you can't marry other non-Jews? It's true. But the classic phrase of chasnos leading to avodah zara is from losis chatein bam. Bitcha lotis nolavnoh necha ki asiris mincha meacharai v'avdu elohim achirim. Right, that's where we end up with that. So it's from that idea. Again, I don't know that anybody says it's a Doraisa. It's clearly Durabanan. Durabanan where goes there this at a later date. But nevertheless, it's related to that idea. Now, again, we're not. I didn't see anybody say it only applies to Sheva Amimin. I've seen lots of interesting things that people write. But I've never seen anybody say it only applies to Sheva Amimin. It applies to Ovdi Avodah Zarah, which have the Tam that applies to Kiyasir Espin Chami Acharai, according to the simple pshat, in that case as well. So this is the Beis Yosef, who, despite you have a Rivash who's a Rishon, quoting Ra, who's a Rishon, that seems to permit it when it's being purchased, Beis Yosef says it's totally taken out of context and they would never be matirit. The problem is, a number of people do understand this in its simple fashion, the way the Rivash writes it. If you look in Ikari Hadat, a very interesting sefer, a bit less than 300 years ago, from an Italian rabbi, Hadat stands for Hatzair Daniel Tirani. It's a very interesting... very interesting title for your sefer, but anyways, it's quoted by a lot of big poskim, and it's his commentary on not really a commentary on Shulchan Aruch, but his halachos on Shulchan Aruch, and look what he... So first he quotes an opinion that takes the Rivash for granted, and then he quotes the Beis Yosef, and then he says, V'shuv ra'isi ha'rivash gufei. So he says, so fine, I looked up the tshuva and the Rivash, fine, so I looked it up. V'nishdomamti al hamareh. He says, I was astonished by what I saw. He says, whoever said such a thing? He says, you read the Rivash, you've no indication of that whatsoever. He doesn't even talk about this. He says, maybe someone see he's saying there's no way anybody who reads the Rivash with their eyes half open, he says, we'll see the Rivash, never intended to make such a bizarre chiluk that, oh, it applies here, it doesn't apply here. He says, what are you talking about? You read the Rivash. The Rivash is very 100% crystal clear. Our pas, which is purchased from the baker, is mutter. And that's the way he writes it. Vayin gamkein laharivash, he's kira harav erech lechem. And if you look in the erech lechem of the Marikash, he also quotes him, dim porim l'ofe goy schar afia yesh lahatir v'chol gavna. Says it is mutter when you pay the gun. He says there's too many people who disagree. He takes this Beis Yosef apart. Lemaisa, though, again, we tend not to rely on all these leniencies, as we'll see. But a very interesting discussion. The truth is, if you look in the Rivash makes no such mention. I don't think the Beis Yosef was trying to say that the Rivash did mention it. I think he was trying to say that the circumstances in the Raz time were different than maybe in our time. But nevertheless, the Rivash still does sound like in his tshuva that he's being matir at any time there is a schar that is paid for this bread. Then we get to some very interesting heterim from two cities, from the city of Constantinople and from the city of Baghdad. What is this additional heter? Knesset HaGedola, who heard from his Rebbe, who is the Maharimat, who I believe was related to the Ikari Haddad, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, totally different heter that he quotes. V'shamati mimori harav shayenos in tamla heter zeh, the fact that people were lenient to buy non-Jewish baker bread, even in a city where Jewish baker bread was available. He says, what was the reason for them doing that? Shelo amru dibimakom sheish palter Yisrael matzoi in likach mi palter goy, ela kishepas palter Yisrael shebeosa ha'ir maspik lechol hadvarim beosa ha'ir. Listen to this wild heter. This is so crazy. But he says it, and it's not just him. So he quotes from his Rebbe that when Shulchan Aruch, looking back, you want to look back to source number two, Yesh mekomos shemekilim b'davar v'los klokim pas minachtom v'kuchavim b'makom she'en sham nachtom Yisrael. Where there's no nachtom Yisrael. He says, it's not dafka where there's no nachtom Yisrael. It means where the nachtom Yisrael can't provide for everybody.
Everybody being...
Meaning everybody in the entire city, even all the non-Jews. Because why? Technically, and it's a fair logical argument. Technically what he says is, fine, so let all the people go to the Jewish bakery and they'll buy. But then you'll run out. So therefore, then you'll have a circumstance in which, though everybody, he's basically saying, has the right to say, I'm going to be the guy who's going to go after it runs out, meaning it's like that there is no Jewish baker here because the Jewish baker can't provide for everybody. And as he says, right, and in Constantinople, im hayu kulam lo kemi palter Yisrael lo yaspik le'echad me'elef. It couldn't even do it. V'kevan she'enu maspik kemi she'en palter Yisrael matzri havei umutr likach mi palter goy. And he says, therefore, it's like you don't have a palter Yisrael and you're allowed to take it from a goy. I was just thinking of the irony of this. In Toronto, I don't even know if you've had enough Jewish baked bread for all the Jews. Right? If we think of how many non-from Jews there are living, if all the Jews in the entire Toronto were to come to all of the Jewish bakeries, they'd be out of bread in a moment. Now, what do you do about the fact that, you know, the way it works is supply and demand, and they'll quickly adapt to such a thing? So that is a question that's really brought up by the Kaf HaChaim. Kaf HaChaim on Yoredei here writes, and he quotes this to begin with, and he writes quotes from others, V'kasav shekein nagu be'ir Baghdad, shekonem mipalter goya filu b'makum sheish palter Yisrael, and listen to what he says, V'gam shel palter Yisrael huyafe, which is a separate halacha, v'hainu mishum, why is it that they're able to purchase from non-Jews, de'be'iram yesh ribuy am, there's a lot of people there, v'imkonem hakom mipalter Yisrael, yeh hapas b'yoker harbe, yu'uyan sham. He says, because if you purchased it all from the Jew, it's true they'd be able to provide, but only at a very high, you know, they'd be, have to charge more, because it would cost them to be able to get all their last minute, you know, flour imported, and they'd have to quickly use another oven. So therefore, in that case, if it would lead the cost of bread to rise, that's also considered as if they can't cook or can't bake for the entire city. So this is another answer, which again, we see people relying on. Nevertheless, people seem not so comfortable relying on that entirely. There's a question altogether, which was really brought up and is really sort of questioned by the previous discussion, which is what if the cost of non-kosher is not allowed. What if the cost of non-Jewish bread is a lot cheaper than the cost of Jewish bread? What would you say? So this is a very good question. It depends on really something what you see under some other partial leniencies. Shulchan Aruch, based on a Rashba, Paskins, that if the bread is of better quality or of a different type than is baked by the Jewish baker, it's permitted to buy that from a non-Jewish baker. It's considered, again, as if that bread is not found for Jewish bakers, and therefore you can buy it from a non-Jewish bakery. So, for example, I mean, let's give a classic example of this, other than the not bad, let's say different types of bread. No bagels are available in Jewish bakeries, so you can go to a non-Jewish bakery and buy bagels, again, assuming everything else is okay. But from the halachas of Pas Yisrael, that's considered, even according to Shulchan Aruch, mutter. Okay, so fine. Let's read what Rabbi Jachter brings. We should note that a young contemporary posik from Flatbush, Rabbi Binyamin Cohen, Chalkas Binyamin 1246 and 51, rules that the Rajba's leniency applies only if Pas Akum is superior to the Pas Yisrael in terms of its taste and or appearance. Okay, that's the criteria which he gives. However, this leniency does not apply if the superiority of Pas Akum is only in terms of its price and or convenience. So he says, despite the fact that we do seem to have a heter of better tasting, better looking, we don't have a heter of better price and better convenience. However, Rav Menachem Ganak questioned this assertion, and he writes, parenthetically, I find it interesting that this issue is addressed in print for the first time, as far as I know, only at the very end of the 20th century. Which is also a good point. But the point is, there is discussion. There can discussion, all the contemporary poskim deal with this question, and you have many on different sides. The truth is, based on the general rules, we see in many places, in certain poskim, that there are, we say, whatever was matir for Pas Akum was matir, but there's no reason to extend it. And it is a good question. You know, there are major poskim that debate this question. That would be another one. I can't imagine that there isn't a... I know that there is a significant cost difference between going into the store and buying a thing of Wonder Bread to going into a Jewish bakery and buying a loaf of bread. Probably not that different in price than the difference between, you know, Chalav Stam and Chalav Yisrael. But something to think about there as an additional heter.
You could claim Wonder Bread is a different type of bread.
You could. You could claim Wonder Bread is a different type of bread, maybe. For whatever the reason, why would you say that it's a different type of bread?
I think it's like different preservatives in it, so it's
longer. Okay, so you're saying it's a longer-lasting bread. Fine. But, I mean, but you have other, you know, commercially baked breads that you could make the argument are definitely cheaper than a loaf of bread from all of the wonderful Jewish bakeries that we have here. And, you know, so these are just some more heterim to think about. There are other partial leniencies, which again, don't necessarily apply to all breads always. Don't apply to a regular, natural, normal bakery bread. But just three of the ones that I thought were important to mention here. Number one was the one of better quality or a different type. That was one heter from Shulchan Aruch. Rav Moshe has a very interesting heter, where he says if it's made by machine or factory, normally he says we'd say low plug. In a lot of cases, where even if it was just made in a factory and you don't know the person, we say low plug. Low plug. He's saying, how far can you say low plug? He says, if it's made by a machine, there's no way you can say low plug anymore. And that's the end of the story. If it's made in a factory, some people even read this as in an assembly line, how far this heter, you know, extends. The point, he says, it's not Shaya Chasnas there altogether. It will never be Shaya Chasnas. And if it's made in a factory like this, and there, you know, a number of significant poskim gave their permission to publish this Tshuva of Rav Moshe in Rav Yosef Raim. So that's another heter for commercially made breads that are not just baked one by one in an oven, but rather are produced en masse and are sold in supermarkets. That would be another heter. Not everybody agrees with this, though, just to note. One important one, which technically doesn't deal with the general leniencies relating to Pas Yisrael, but actually deals with the leniency of what is considered Jewish involvement in this. We saw earlier Hashlachas Kesam, even a symbolic act, so to say, of throwing in something that will add a teensy-weensy bit of heat to the fire, is still considered to have the Jew as having a part in cooking it. What is very interesting, and this is based on Shulchan Aruch Yeridea 1.12.12, where he says, so long as the bread can be baked more and it will improve in its taste, right? Almost like we have by Shabbos, mitzdamek ve'yafalo, almost. They don't use that language here, but it's the same idea. To say when something, you know, gets, if it's something that is edible right now, 100% edible, but you put it in, it gets a little crusty, everybody says, geschmack crusty bread. In that case, even if the Jew were just to bake it for that last bit, that would be considered Pas Yisrael. So based on that, Rav Belsky, Rav Sternbach, and others, let's say you bought a bagel or something like that, or a piece of bread, and you toast it, and you like it better toasted, or you buy even, let's say you would buy a challah. I'm not sure which non-Jews are baking challah for you, but you bought a challah, and you know, Erev Shabbos, you want to warm it up, exactly, and toast it a little bit so you can have a nice crunchy crust for when you cut it Friday night. They say 100%, that's considered Pas Yisrael, even if it was from a non-Jew to begin with. It's just considered Pas Yisrael because you did that last element of baking. However, just heating up bread, even though obviously it makes it taste better once it's cooled down, that's not considered in this heter. But there are many, many more heterim. And again, to go through all the halachos of Pas Yisrael, what is defined as a non-Jew? What is defined as bread? What is defined as this? What are the other? There are many more halachos that we could go through, and maybe we'll talk about them a little bit after when the shiur is done. But these are some of the leniencies that we saw. And again, many of these are, you know, you come to the point where not only do you have the leniency of the Ramban, however we are to explain that, and for sure for a non-Jewish baker, you then have 3, 4, 5 that even right, even within the Mechaber, we think that there's what to rely on for this leniency. So that may lead someone to say, okay, so this is a very nice chumrah for the, you know, Hasidim and whoever else wants to put their chelek in the very holy people. But you see, there's, you know, so many heterim, what do I need to keep this for? And the answer is that despite all this stuff, and despite all this being known, pretty much, I won't say pretty much all, many, many of the mainstream poskim, which even the modern Orthodox world rules by, whether it be in Israel and Chutz La'aretz and elsewhere, and you can see many other sources for this, you can ask me about them after the shiur, rule not like this. Let's take a look at the Pnine Halacha, for example. Lemaisa yesh lehoros kedas shulchan aruch v'rofa poskim shirak b'makum shepas Yisrael ina metzuya efshir lahakel b'pas paltzer goy. V'amnam be'ashkenaz hayu shenagu lahatir zos lechatchila v'yeh shehoru kach gam liyameinu ulam kevan shegam bein posei ashkenaz rabim matu lahachmir lechatchila yesh lehoros livnei kol ha'edos kedas shulchan aruch v'di'imei she'ahet shirak b'makum shepas Yisrael lo metzuya. And then he says in Eretz Yisrael, even Ashkenaz would agree, but his point is even for Chutz La'aretz. He says there are so many mainstream Ashkenaz poskim that are machmir here, he thinks it's appropriate lechatchila to paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, and only when it's not available can you have this heter. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan, who's writing 100 years ago. This can't have been easy in the cities that he had been in and had seen. V'hine, b'medina seinu, he says in our places, kulam zihirim tamid bazeh. Bichol Hashana, Bichol Inyan. Okay, and it can't be that easy in Navardic to go and find always, you know, Jewish bread, and that it was so. It's true there was a Jewish baker, I'm sure, maybe two Jewish bakers, but still. Uvamakormos harachokim sheyisrael muatim ve'ein palter Yisrael ochlim mipalter shelahem avalom mipas palabayis imlo kshein lo malecho klal v'urayiv daz bichol tolecho gam pas palayis v'chein nachon lasos ve'ein lishanos. Says Aruch HaShulchan, if in my time, in Navardic, they can do it, you should continue to do such thing. And there's many other poskim. You can see it in the Chayi Adam, you can see it in many others. And really, it is something that a lot of poskim, even again, you know, not that we're living in some ivory tower, you know, we're really living out there in the world, in Europe, and in other places where it was not necessarily so easy to do this, did seem to have the practice to follow the Shulchan Aruch.
I was wondering, if the Aruch HaShulchan is true, that really in Poland or whatever became accepted that everyone would eat papalt or whatever, not only Jewish bread. Does that mean
that is the million-dollar question? So that is the million-dollar question.
It wasn't accepted. It can't be like we can't revert back to.
Correct, but you will have the koach of minag. You will have the koach of minag.
But not like
correct. I don't think that he is saying that now we have the status of having accepted it.
Everyone started being like machmir, like balkei, being learning Torah.
Right.
We wouldn't go back.
I don't think that we can say that, correct. Yeah. I don't think that we can say that, but it would have tokef of minhag, maybe, for people who come from there, if in fact they know that was the case. I think I saw somewhere that Kitzer says that it was not the practice, but I'm not 100% sure about that. What is interesting, though, is, again, even for those who don't want to be machmir on in general, and there clearly are poskim to rely on. You saw the poskim to rely on. You saw the Rama. There definitely are. On the other hand, there are other times during the year when it is still appropriate. What's one that you may remember from Aruch Chaim? Asimei Tshuva, very good. Other people talk about Shabbos, Yom Tov, Mishnah, things like this. There are those, and again, just sort of like a short summary from Halachipedia at the end, because what's a good cheer without Halachipedia? Although Ashkenazi practice usually follow the Ramah, several posts come in that it's still proper to be stringent in this manner and not eat pas palter or pas trel is available. Others are not concerned with this for most of the year. Someone whose practice was to be careful not to eat pas palter and wants to change his practice must be matir neder. Okay, it's an interesting additional halacha. The Torah writes that even those who are not careful of pas palter during the year are careful to only eat pas trel during Aseret Tshuva. Several reasons are given for this custom. Some say that this is true of Shabbos and Yatzif as well as part of Kavod Shabbos. So in summary, again, although there is definitely what to rely on for those who do eat, certainly non-Jewish baker-baked bread, possibly, and we didn't really discuss this, but even non-Jewish baked bread in general, even if it was baked for personal use, that's a longer discussion. Nevertheless, despite all of these different interesting heterim, and what really tend to boil down to limud schus in most cases, by the way, nevertheless, it still seems that a lot of foskim are machmir, and again, for if someone's able to do this, then that's probably not a bad thing to try based on all these poskim. That being said, again, any particular halacha questions should be forwarded to a posek. I am aware, by the way, that in terms of practical halacha at the bayit is makbid, that everything brought in must be pas Yisrael. Just in case there's any question about that. So if you do get permission to bring food into the building, it has to be pas Yisrael. And there's other rules in addition to that, but that's one of the things that they are actually makbid on. To be brought in, I don't remember, because usually people are... I mean, there must be times that they bring in milk, obviously, they have for coffee. I would assume that they would put it out. I don't remember if they told me that that's required as well. I think yes. You know, and maybe we'll have one on Chalav Yisrael as well, and maybe we'll have one on the other details of Pas Yisrael, as to what makes something Pas Yisrael, and when is Bishul Yisrael also required, and things like that, which is another section altogether. That's something to think about in terms of... these heterim, if this is a possibility. I will also note that there are many, many, many mainstream kosher organizations that do give hashgacha to non-Jewish baked bread, to pas palter, made by many of the large companies. Even though they know they are not pas Yisrael, they give them hechsher to say, we know that no non-kosher ingredients were put in this bread, and that the, you know, was supervised or whatever to whatever extent.
Take it out of...
No, supervision is not enough. There has to be, at the very minimum, some element of being involved in the baking process, as we saw something like Hashlachas Kesam. But there are many, many different examples of how that might look nowadays in terms of what's required. And there are actually many, many heterim within those fields. Like, oh, let's say one round of baking, you forgot to do it. You did it the other rounds, don't worry. The oven was still hot. You know, we do tend to be makel on the amount of participation. We generally look at it as in the baking elements and not so much in the preparation elements. But these are all halachos that are discussed there in Yerodea 112, in Kuf Yud Beis, and definitely are worth learning if this is something that people are interested in taking on or already keep. As to what would be mutter under certain circumstances. These are sort of the overview of the general approach. Is this something that should be required, suggested, or silly? Shkayach.